Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon to my dear friend Daniel. Today we are together to discuss the 15th of the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis. Lastly, the disease of extravagance and self-exhibition. This happens when a leader turns his or her service into power and uses that power for material gain or to acquire even greater power. This is the disease of persons who insatiably try to accumulate power and to this end are ready to slander, defame, and discredit others who put themselves on display to show that they are more capable than others. This disease does great harm because it leads people to justify the use of any means whatsoever to attain their goal, often in the name of justice and transparency. Here I remember a leader who used to call journalists to tell and invent private and confidential matters involving his colleagues. The only thing he was concerned about was being able to see himself on the front page, since this made him feel powerful and glamorous while causing great harm to others and to the organizations. This is an excerpt from the Harvard Business Review article written by Gary Hamel. And boy, that's a mouthful in there. Good afternoon, my dear friend Daniel. How are you today?
I'm good. And, boy, we do want to apologize for last week. Sometimes when you're doing live radio, you have technical difficulties. But I was thinking about this last disease. Johnny, you have to be a very bold person to throw your teammates under the bus. So that you can, I understand a politician do that. That's part of who they are. But to actually do that in business, that's beyond me. I'm trying to think back even if I know someone that actually had done that. I've known people who will throw you under the bus for them to go forward, for them to advance, air the dirty laundry that maybe no one knows about, but I've never really known someone that did it to get on TV or to get on the air. That's pretty bad. But it does exist out there, and it is something that the Pope felt compelled to bring up as something. I think what he's talking more about is this need for, there's an old story in the Spanish community, Johnny, that's called the Cangrejo story, which is about crabs. And the interesting thing about crabs is that you don't have to put a lid on the bucket that you're throwing them into because they're constantly pulling each other down, trying to get out. And I think this kind of speaks to that, is that people who are trying to scrape and get to the top rather than to base their upward mobility and success on their merit. So this is an ugly one, I think, a very ugly one.
I think that's a great point. I think what's even more dangerous is when you have leaders in organizations of any size doing it behind people's back. And unfortunately, I think it becomes more and more evident the further up you get in an organization. I think of a young gentleman that's a client of mine who I was working with, an international client, and I'm not even going to say where or the organization he works for, but what he was fascinated about was for the longest time at the level of the organization he was in, he had a perception of how the company operated. And he was promoted in fairly short order, probably three different levels, of which in every case it was justified. Just a world-class human being and leader, just as genuine as the day is long. And throughout the course of his promotions, he was excited. He was inspired. But he was also unpleasantly surprised to the point where he says, I don't know that one, I didn't realize that this is the way people played when you get at that level. with some of maybe the sniping and in meetings or the stuff that takes place and, you know, behind the scenes or wherever it may be. But there was so much of the people trying to, you know, the people legitimately putting others down in an effort to make themselves look to look better. And he's, I had no idea it was like this. Matter of fact, in Houston, the conversation shifted to, is it like this everywhere, Johnny? Have you experienced this firsthand? And we'd be very arrogant to say that it's like that everywhere. However, we'd be very accurate to say if it's not like that in many, many organizations of all sizes across the country. And it's a shame because what ends up happening is you have, you know, individuals like this gentleman I'm speaking about who goes into the role expecting to change the world and thinking that the same type of camaraderie. So when he was a leader in this, for his particular department or segment of the organization, it was very much like a family, watching out for each other, taking care of each other, common goals, mission, values, because he was the leader. Now all of a sudden when he's amongst a group of peer executives and he finds out that that's not the case, as a matter of fact, they put on their happy face, their kumbaya, we're all aligned, and then they walk out of the room and then the conversations and the real dialogue takes place. That was real disenchanting and quite frankly a little heartbreaking to him when he started asking himself whether he was with the right organization or not. And it's just, you know, it's just terrible. I mean, I hate to see that stuff. I love that analogy you brought up. Actually, I'd never heard that analogy about the crabs in the bucket, but I think it makes complete sense.
Yeah, you know, if you look over the last 15 shows that we've done, over the 15 diseases, you know, you're going to have to wonder, you know, back when I think in the 1900s when philosophy, psychology, self-help was being kind of brought to the forefront, being brought over from Europe, one of the top psychologists of the time, Jung or Freud, one of those two, made a comment about the nature of the human race and its needs. What the article referenced, and I don't remember the article quite honestly, I'm just going to paraphrase. The article referenced that man's main need was to compete. There was something in man's nature was to compete. The funny thing about that article is it didn't say just compete. It said compete and have compassion. And we somehow left out the compassion part in business and focused on that, you know, our nature was to compete against each other, to strive for beating one or the other. And it's the interesting thing about that, Johnny, because that's what this is all talking about, is that need to feel like you have to be number one. And there's nothing wrong with healthy competition. I'm talking about what this is talking about, to the point where you're actually going out and throwing your teammates under the bus or tripping them or doing whatever it is that you need to do to, so that you could be at the top. Today's world is in a much different paradigm than it was in the early 1900s, and it surely has over the last 100 years. Our world today is in a place of cooperation versus competition. People wanting to find out, how do we work together? How do we find ways so that, you know, and it's not that we have to feel like everybody wins, because we live in a world where someone's always winning, but not at the expense of others, not at the expense of themselves or others. And so we live in a world today, when we talk about business and spirituality, and we talk about oneness, and we talk about mindfulness, and we talk about spirituality, the reason why Johnny and I decided to do this show was that we could challenge some of these ideas, especially this one. It really gets under my skin, Johnny, that people would actually do something like that. And yet I've seen it, and it's happened to me too. And I've just walked away. But today's paradigm is shifting. And this is a deal breaker, I think, out in the corporate world and in the business world, that if this is your behavior and this is your antiquated way of seeing life, you won't be around very long. You won't be around because people are less tolerant of this kind of behavior, any of the 15 diseases, but this one even more so, because I think, Johnny, that this one is more vicious. than the rest of them in terms of the damage that it can do. I mean, think about it. Does someone like that ever really step back? Probably not, because they're narcissistic. And think about the damage they're doing. Think about the individual, not as an employee or as someone as a direct report or an up report, but think about that person as a husband, a wife, a daughter, a mother, a sister, and what you do to that person when you come from that type of behavior. I don't know. This particular one, like I said, just blows me away. It just blows me away.
I agree, and I keep thinking about the analogy that you use, and I'd like to give you an example. And as I think about or I process who would do this, I think there's another way to view it. And I think one of the things you mentioned was, you know, the insatiable desire to be competitive and this mm-hmm. insatiable desire to lead and be number one. And I think when you take it even a layer beneath that, and it may not necessarily be or on top of being number one, it's what drives that insatiable desire to be number one, to be the best. And so much of it comes from, you know, our childhood. And it comes
yep.
from a desire to be noticed. We all come from dysfunctional families. It's just what degree of dysfunction you come from. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And it's just this insatiable desire to be noticed. And you see two different groups. And I use an example. So you know me. I'm the big Southern California. I love all the active sports. So when I was thinking about Mick Fanning, for those who follow professional surfing, which isn't a whole lot, I know, quite frankly. But for those of you who saw the Mick Fanning story here a couple months ago when he was surfing in a competition in another part of the world, a shark came and bumped his board. And actually, it was visible. You can pull
through
any of those. And you can see it, right? What I thought was interesting, though, is that there was another competitor. It escapes me right now. It was Wilson. It was out there. But there was another competitor that was out in the water near him. And he leaned over, or he looked over, and he saw the shark. And he saw the shark knock Fanning off his board, go under, and then come back up. Instead of paddling and abandoning Fanning and taking off towards the coast, he did the opposite and went out to support and try to rescue and help Fanning. Fanning didn't need to be rescued. The shark bumped him. The long and the short of it is, just scared the hell out of him. The shark went away, and Fanning was just fine. But the reason I share that story is it's no different than what takes place. And you see it in so many different scenarios, whether it's sinking ships, whether you see it's fires. You know, there's the difference between, you know, it's those who, and I'm not saying anything wrong, those who are afraid and out of fear, they run away to look, you know, to kind of watch out for themselves versus those who go back into the fire to try and save and rescue others.
Right,
and I
right.
don't think it's not any different in the business world. And that just doesn't happen that when you get into business, you become this person. When you go into these positions, long before you're ever an executive or senior director, director, man, whatever it is, this is who you are. Now, throughout life, you experience enough things that hopefully you begin to, you know, I've shared before, is I think that many of the lessons in life, you know, people say so often that if I could do over, I'd do things differently. And I don't necessarily subscribe to that thinking. I mean, from my standpoint, I think we do things exactly the same way we have done them, because the learning, the wisdom, and the insights comes from doing things and making mistakes in life, and that's what shapes us into the people that we become as we get older. And I think when you use the example of the backstabbing, the leadership, all of those types of things, I don't think that's any different. I think people learn the difference between right and wrong, even as they evolve and they get more mature in their positions and in their careers.
Hmm. Well, you know, you said something I think is very true, and that is a leopard doesn't change his spots, right? If you grew up being that, and you see little kids, right, how competitive they can be, even little ones, little toddlers, with toys or wanting to get their milk first or whatever it is. I think it goes back to, Johnny, as adults, maybe this is not an inherited behavior, because I don't believe it's an inherited behavior. I think it's a taught behavior. I think
yeah.
it's something that we learn from watching our parents, and maybe we learn it as a survival mode. Maybe we're part of 14 kids or 12 kids or 6 kids, and somehow this is the only way we get fed, is if we compete
That's
to
right.
get fed, right? So I can understand that, too, coming from a big family. So what do we do? So the solution, what do we do when we get into adulthood and we find ourselves with this character defect that we want to go in and throw people under the bus for the sake of your own career? I think it's very simple, and I think that it doesn't – I think it takes longer for – I think it takes time and age and wisdom and experience to get to a place where you can begin to take a step back and really ask yourself the question, what do I really gain from this, and what damage am I doing to the other person by this – by stepping into this behavior? It's kind of interesting because all our movies, our soap operas, you name it, they always have someone like this in them, right? They always have that villain, that person who's willing to expend the universe for the sake of their own gain. But what I'm trying to get at, Johnny, is that I mean, if we're going to offer people tools, I would say that you go back, and if you really want to change this and you know who you are, because I don't think that people are bad people. I think people are just doing the best they can with the tools they were given. And one of the things that I found in my life is to take a step back and just to be mindful. And what I mean by mindful is just stop. And before making it a big decision, before getting involved in something or saying something that maybe is going to be hurtful to someone else, is really taking a step back and being the bigger person and thinking it through. I know I've been in that position over the last few days, Johnny, where I've had to really think about, really, what do you gain by being loud? What do I gain by being aggressive? What do I gain? And the truth is, when I'm willing to take a step back and be mindful about that, really nothing.
Right.
The only thing that really happens is I get labeled as an ass or something like that because really thinking that through, I mean, my need for myself, the question that I have to ask myself often is, what is my need to be right about? What is my need to be right, so right about what it is that I feel like I am entitled to that I'm willing to throw somebody under the bus for it? And sometimes people, it's our loved ones. Sometimes it's our family. Sometimes our lovers or our significant others or wives and husbands and daughters. I mean, I don't know, Johnny. Of all of the I already said this, but of all of the diseases that we've discussed over the last 15 weeks, I can't believe it's been 15 weeks. But the last 15 weeks, this is the one that really gets to me because I don't, you know. And I guess sometimes I've often said too that you can't rationalize with the irrational. Right, we're trying to make sense of why. Right, go ahead. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, but I think you're right, and I think the other part of it is you can't rationalize it because one, you've never led like that, you could never perceive leading like that. But it's almost like a gang type theory. It's like people don't get it; they immediately, you know, they have their perspective of perception of gangs. But unless you've grown up in that environment, since you are an infant and a child, you know nothing different. You can't be expected to understand it. Where when you're in the middle of it and that's all you've known, then that's how you live. I think there's another part of this, though, too. And it's the other part that people find themselves get into these situations and they get sucked into the vacuum of it. And that although they didn't necessarily lead in that manner or necessarily exhibit those behaviors to a high degree, it's when they start getting in circles, right, of everyone's competing, you know, executive level of who has the nicest car. Who belongs to the nicest country club? And then how do they get it? Then all of a sudden the pressures are there to, you know, to get one leg up. And it's a competition. And the sad part of it is, even you mentioned this, it happens when we're stepping on the backs of others, you know, while we're in our pursuit for all of this. And it's incredibly disappointing. And I think earlier when you were given, you know, you were talking about, you know, the key to this is mindfulness, and I always try to bounce it off of my theory is to ask yourself, always ask yourself, would my children be proud of my behavior? Would my children be proud of my behavior? Right? If it showed up on the radio or it talked about what I was doing and it showed up on TV and or in the circles of someone's parents talking and it comes up at the Girl Scout, the Boy Scout, the high school games, would my kids be proud of the way I'm behaving? And or am I not only a good role model to my children, But am I a good role model in the society, in community? The other part is when we talk about the millennials, and we talk about quite frequently, and actually before I do this, I know we've only got 9 minutes left, but if anyone's interested in weighing in on this topic, by all means, please give us a call. And the phone number is 347-677-1965. Again, 347-677-1965. We'd love to hear from you.
You bet.
But I was going back to saying, what's that?
I said, you bet.
I think that, right, and I think that the more that, you know, we see these leaders exhibit this behavior, they get sucked into that vacuum and into that space, and it's easier to borrow courage when you've got to be the bad guy and say, someone else said this, or this is how it played out, as opposed to standing on your own two legs and being the more unpopular man or woman in the group, and with that risk of, you know, who knows what happens, you know, not being in the good old boys or the good old girls network, and say it's too easy. When we talk about the millennials, I'll tell you right now, the more I interact, whether it's with clients or in certain circles of the young men and women who are beginning to lead today and will lead this country into the immediate, near, and longer-term future, there is so much less tolerance for it. It is so much more collaborative. It's so much more peace-driven, so much more loving. I mean, it's more about how do we win versus the me. And that, to me, is so exciting. And people, you know, I hear it so often, you know, well, this generation is so selfish, right? Well, in some cases they are. So was our generation, so was the generation before, et cetera, et cetera. But selfish isn't always bad if it's done for the right reasons. Now, selfish, you could say selfish because, is it because they insist on doing things differently? That's not necessarily a bad thing. And if the things they're doing differently, they're no longer going to tolerate those executives who backstab and step on others, and those who are pompous and arrogant, and those who don't give the type of recognition and support to their employees that they deserve, they're naturally going to start going away. There'll always be those handful in the TV and the news because they've got to exist. That's just the way it is. But from the other standpoint is they're going to start going away. They're going to become dinosaurs because those who are going to truly make significant change in the world, whether it's in the United States or any part of the globe, they refuse to work for them. I'm not going to work for someone that behaves that way, that has those low values, those low of ethics, and those low and that degree of low morals. I'm just not going to do it. So I'm going to go work with the other companies that will inevitably put you out of business. And so if you're struggling with it, if you're hiring a coach, whether it's internally, you've brought someone in to work alongside you, it's not hopeless. By no means is it hopeless. You know, it's like anything else, like the whole 12-step program. The first piece is really acknowledging you've got a problem. And from there, there are so many resources that can help you navigate through. And there's so many real-life stories of leaders that I can think of firsthand that I've worked with who came out of the gate really rough, perceived as, let's just say, abusive, and in the end turned out to be, you know, quite frankly, some rock star leaders who were not only given credit for being rock star leaders, but given twice as much credit for the turnaround they made in their personality and leadership style.
Yeah, you know, you said something that I think is powerful, and that is, what would my children say, or what would my dad or mom say? I think those are hard questions. We want to believe that we're not who we are no matter where we're at. We think we can hide. We think we can hide and be someone else. And then, as you have seen, because of our crazy world today, everything comes out. Everything comes out. Used to be
unless
you could hide
Donald
stuff
Trump
and go.
And you just, unless you're Trump,
yeah,
and you put
don't,
it out
don't,
there.
Well, speaking of this number 15, I mean, you know, Donald Trump is just an example, I think, of someone who's speaking his truth. By the way, his truth doesn't have to be ours. It's just his. It's his experience and reality that, you know, he's got that much money and he can say what he wants. But I do want to say this. I do want to say this as we're wrapping things up. And next week, I think what we'll do is we're just going to wrap up all 15 diseases and maybe have you guys call in. And, you know, Johnny, maybe we'll invite a couple of folks to come in and really talk about what their favorite one was. So we really hope you call in. But I want to say this because it's exciting to me. And that is that, you know, the big companies out there, big companies out there are changing. They are changing. They are starting to take a step back and look at, you know, how do we do a better job of being, corporate citizens, you know, and citizens of the world, which we all are all citizens of the world, which is why that little kid washing up in Syria is such a big deal for us. Like, how do we let that happen in our world today? How do we let things like that happen? And even in the midst of all that, I do want to say this because I'm a strong believer, and I think that Johnny and I both do what we do because we believe that it's possible. And what's possible, folks, is that people, companies, and I'm not going to mention the company, but I'm in the process of signing a contract to work with a major company in the world. And the topic of the conversation for these high-level executives, these are global executives, in New York City this year is oneness. And we were discussing about how oneness is achieved. And oneness is achieved only one way, and that's through an understanding of myself, the willingness to forgive myself, accept myself, and love myself, and then others. But before all that, a direct connection to something bigger than you. You can call it whatever you want, God, universe, the doorknob for all I care. Because there is something bigger than us that we must connect to in order to find that connection to self. When we do that and we connect to the divine, then we seek out mission, we seek out community. And in community and in mission, we have the development or the beginning of what I call oneness or what the world calls oneness. I'm encouraged, Johnny, to hear big companies like that. And a bank, no doubt.
A big bank.
You know, any small one. Once it's all settled and you know, I'll probably talk more about it and maybe we'll have a show around it. But I'm just so... So, I mean, when you and I first started, this is our dream. You know, how do we get this out there? How do we make it work? And then, you know, one company at a time, we're out there making a difference, bringing the message of oneness and spirituality to these companies. So anyway, I know we're running out of time, but I just wanted to say that there's light at the end of the tunnel, folks.
You know, Daniel, I think that as we close down here and we'll literally have 2 minutes left, yes, as I hear about what you're saying, and we definitely need to do an episode around oneness because I think it's such a beautiful conversation and what it means at a deeper level. This is what I would close with. When it's all said and done, and you're on a simple correlation between those companies that are the rate of their success between those who are loving, caring, picking each other up, and being supportive of one mission, and you compare the results of those organizations to those that are stepping on backs, backstabbing, and not supporting each other in a collaborative and loving way. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the math is. You don't need any big company or big university to write about it. And I would just challenge any leader, individual, homemaker, anyone else out there to really stop and think about that and really examine our behaviors on a daily basis, acknowledge the fact that we're not perfect, but by gosh, as long as we're working hard to improve, that's all that anyone can ask for. So great topic this week. Daniel, as always, I love the time that we're together. Next week, we're going to get together, have some additional guests, and we're going to talk about the 15 wrapped up. So, folks, you have yourself a wonderful week. God bless, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.